What is the role of a Jewish woman? It seems like a simple yet fundamental question that should come with a straightforward answer. Yet there seems to be a lot of confusion and mixed messages when it comes to what a woman's purpose and value is in this world. And it's even among many of today's rabbonim and rabbinsons. In general, we are told that our goal is to support our husbands, raise our children, to mechanic them in the way of Torah and mitzvahs, especially at a young age, to physically run the home, and for many of us, it also means earning our punusa. Now, there's truth to this answer. All of these things are an inseparable part of our avoida in this world. But at the same time, there's something missing over here. If this is the case, then where do single women or almonas and divorcees fit in? Chazal tell us that kol zman a person with bechira is given life, it means that Hashem wants something from him or her. There's some purpose or task the person has to fulfill. Given the explanation I just said, it seems that women without a family are left without a purpose. So this can't be the whole response. There are also many other questions surrounding a woman's avoider that really need answers. Like, for example, if women are not obligated to learn Torah, then how are we to retain spiritual growth or closeness to Hashem? Consider the fact that there are six constant mitzvahs that men and women are equally obligated to fulfill. To know that Hashem exists. And there are various levels of knowing Hashem's existence. To know that He is one. And again, here too, various levels of knowing Hashem's oneness. To love Him, to fear Him, to sanctify His name, and to have no other gods. Now, Chazal tell us on this last mitzvah that anger and pride are a form of idol worship. So how are we to attain growth in any of these areas if we are not obligated to learn Torah, which is the antidote, the way in order for us, in order for people to fulfill it? Even the Sfarim HaKadoshim that we have, well, they're written for men and their avoider. They were never intended for women. Of course, it doesn't mean that we can't take things out of these Sfarim and apply them to our lives, but Lamaisa, they're not for us. Even though, I will say here, even though it is widely accepted today that women should be learning Torah and not just Halucha, but also Hashkufa, Musa, and Tanakh, regardless of the fact that we're not earning the same schar for it as a man, it's a machlokas. And the truth is, it's only a machlokas of today. The average woman these days knows much more than women did a few decades ago. And this is not just in terms of Yiddishkeit. So the question is, how did women 200 or 300 years ago fulfill their purpose if they couldn't read, or they only knew basic daily haluchas and hashkufa? Then there's the issue of importance and value. Are men and their contribution to Yiddishkeit, their families, communities, and the world, is it greater than that of women? For example, there is a halucha in the Shulchan Aruch. A man is given priority in certain life and death situations. This means if you're walking down the street and you see a man and a woman drowning at the same time, you have the priority is to save the man. The man comes first. He is also given priority in the fulfillment of certain mitzvahs. The Ramban explains that it is because a man is inherently more kadosh, since he is obligated to learn Torah and he has greater obligations to fulfill mitzvahs. But this applies even if the man in question is not Shomer Mitzvahs. You save a non-frim man first before a frim woman. It would seem from here that men and their role in this world are indeed much more important. While we also hear, on the other hand, that in certain aspects, and in certain respects, a woman is on a higher level than a man. For example, Chazal tell us the women have more bina, more amuna, that the imos had a higher level of nevuah than the avos, and that women are rewarded first in olam haba. Yet on a palpable level, it can feel like we are second-class citizens, that the man and his avoider are the ikar, or we are kind of pushed off into the background. Someone was telling me that a friend of hers was busy doing things around the house one morning, as her son was saying, morning brochas shelo asani, goy shelo asani, uvid shelo asani, isha. She said, my son is saying these brochas, and I feel like all three of these things. And sometimes it can really feel that way. So There are many questions regarding a woman's value, role, and purpose in this world, but they're not without answers. The truth is, there's actually a very defined path for women according to the Torah and explained the Chazal, and the value and impact of this path, while it may differ from that for man, is just as important. While women may have intuitively known these things generations ago, for some reason today this knowledge has been forgotten. And certain basic yet essential ideas and skills are not getting talked about enough or learned. This goes for both men and women. So I'm going to start with the aspect of a woman's value and impact. By the chet of Adam and Chava, Hashem approaches the two of them in Gan Eden after the chet. Hashem asks Adam, Hamina eats a shes visichal levilti achal memenu achalta? Have you eaten from the tree of which I've commanded you not to eat? And we know what his answer is. Then Hashem turns to Chava and he asks her, Mazot asit, what is this that you've done? And we know what she answers as well. Yet when Hashem comes to the Nachash, he's not asked anything. The reason is that at that point he'd reached the limit of his ability to affect the world. It made no difference what he would have responded. Yet both Adam and Chava were given an opening to do tshuva and rectify the situation. If either had done it, things would have turned out differently. So implicit to this is the idea that if Chava's actions didn't have much of a value or impact, then she never would have been given an opening in the first place. There's an interesting thing to note over here. The Chava received two sets of punishments. First, having difficulty with childbirth and raising children, and the second, being subservient or dependent on her husband. The order of these punishments seems backwards, considering the nature of things. Why didn't Hashem first mention the new dynamic Chava will have with her husband, and then tell her about the pains of childbirth and rearing? Especially since Rashi says that the second punishment means that she wouldn't have the omets to directly ask her husband for intimacy. You hear the question? Now, we could explain it by the fact that she first ate herself, brought the evil inclination inside, and then gave to her husband. So Hashem was just stating the punishment according to the order of her actions. But perhaps there is something else over here. We know that actions are also children. It says in Parshas Noach, Eli told us Noach ish tzadik. Rashi says in this pusik, Ikka told us Seham shat tzadiki maisim toivi. Hashem could have been hinting to Chava, and women after her, that from now on her personal avoider and growth, her connection to Hashem, will primarily come through Yisirim. Chava allowed the evil inclination to get inside of her, and now she will need the Yisirim in order to get it out. So we see that the punishment itself allowed her and us to metaken that which went off. Every Jewish woman has the ability to use Yisirim, and by Yisirim I mean distressful emotions and inner turbulence, not just the experiences that we have on the outside, to free herself from the Nachash inside of her. All the sheker, the illusions, the things that pull her away from the emes of anything, person, or situation, and ultimately use the experience to come closer to Hashem. Any woman who is aware and who is willing will intrinsically and naturally excel at this process, and to a certain extent much more so than a man. Now, Chazal also compare a woman to the moon. What's the nature of a moon? Of the moon? The moon really has no light of her own. She reflects the light that the sun shines. But interestingly, not when the sun is out. Then she is hidden in the background. Men are like the sun. They shine bright. They need to go out to be at the head, to take the lead, to create an impact in a visible and palpable way. This is the intrinsic nature of a man. But the minute it starts to get dark, the minute the night sets in, when Hashem's Hashkucha is hidden and things get confusing, the light and strength and spiritual clarity of a man tends to fade out. Having a Muna at these times is something that is very, very hard for men. And it's one of the most important but also most difficult parts of a man's avoid in this world. On the other hand, Dafka when it's dark, Dafka in those moments of doubt, confusion, and hiddenness, that is when the moon shines bright. She takes the light that she receives from the sun and she gives it out for comfort, chizuk, and clarity. Women intrinsically have greater emuna than men. This then is the nature of a woman at the most basic level. She takes the light that she picks up, that she senses and receives from those around her, and she projects it back in a way that gives them clarity, builds them up, encourages them to move forward, and helps them to properly see the challenges that lie ahead. It doesn't matter what setting or in what way this comes out. This dynamic always exists when it comes to women. Remember the Rambam I mentioned earlier, which states that a man is inherently more kodosh than a woman. The Rambam is likely referring to the fact that men are inherently further away from Hashem than women, and that they need Torah and mitzvahs as well as a wife in order to achieve the same level of divine closeness that a woman naturally possesses. When a man does accomplish this, however, his thoughts and actions bring a greater level of kavod shemayim to the world than those of a woman, because he had a lower starting point. His journey is longer and harder and presents a greater nais along the way when it is accomplished. The Rambam was then not referring to the intrinsic value of a man versus a woman, but rather to his potential ability to bring down more kavod shemayim into the world. In Mitzrayim, Chazal tell us that the women at that time were able to reach the level of tzaddikim. As an aside, I highly recommend, if you haven't read it already, that you read an article on my site, shiratmiriam.com, called In the Merit of the Righteous Woman. It's based on a Devar Torah by Rabbi Eliezer Parkoff. And the ideas over there are very beautiful, inspiring, and not so well known. So if you have a chance, take a look at it. Okay. While there are many things that the women in Egypt were praised for, one of the biggest and perhaps most familiar is that they had the emuna to continue family life, and even more importantly, they were able to bring their husbands along with them, even though the men were fighting through waves of depression and exhaustion. Everyone in that generation knew that Hashem had promised the redemption. But most of the men were very disconnected from that knowledge. They hadn't internalized it. The women helped their husbands to see rays of truth and renewed hope. These men were then emboldened to not only continue on, but to also continue giving of themselves. Interestingly, what were the instruments that these women used to encourage the husbands? Mirrors. They didn't just look at them to beautify themselves either. The Midrash tells us that they looked at these mirrors and that they took these mirrors and showed their husbands their reflection. They did this figuratively as well. They offered a reflection of hope and light in the darkness, and because of this, they were able to encourage their husbands to continue family life. On that note, I want to bring in an interesting idea about the nature of a woman by the Maharal. In the Gemara, Sota 12a, it says, Kol anosa isha l'shem shemaim ki'ilu yelda. Any man who takes a wife for the sake of heaven, it's as if he gave birth to her. The Maharal in his Sefer Gerari explains that women actually go through two births, as it were, one to her father and mother, and one to her husband. From her parents, she gets the choymeh, the building material that makes her who she is. This would include the spiritual genes and personality traits that she inherited from her parents, as well as her innate strengths and weaknesses. Part of a Jewish woman's lifetime goal is to refine this chaymeh, to go through a very personal process of rejecting the sheker that's inside of her, connecting to the emes, and ultimately coming closer to Hashem. This is her own path in life. It never ever leaves her. But this process is only one part of the equation. Her second and higher goal is to use who she is and all that she will become to aid her in her joint mission with her husband. Upon marriage, the husband gives her a shape, a tzura. And according to the Maharal, this is like a second birth, because it brings a kind of completion to a woman's existence and tafkid in this world. It can be compared to a piece of clay or wood. All the material's there, but it takes the sculptor to come along and turn it into something more. A plate, a cup, a jar. It now has a higher purpose. So women are meant to find and reflect the light around them. But to the extent that a woman is internally connected to Hashem, to Emes, and to who she is, to the extent that her mirror is refined and cleaned, to that extent the reflection she gives out will be accurate and clear. If she is off, then so will be the reflection, just like a mirror that is warped or dirty. I just want to clarify one point. It's not that a woman has absolutely no light or identity of her own, that she's just this passive receptacle of those around her. What I mean is that only when she is receiving and giving in this way is she in her element and fulfilling her purpose to the highest level. And it's the light itself that she receives, particularly within her home. It's this light which gives her the ability to be mashpia in her own unique way on those around her. Think about that for a moment. It's the light that she receives, particularly within her home, that gives her the ability to be mashpia on those around her in her own unique way. Now I'll get to single women and those without children in a minute. One of the most important things to remember is that a woman's personal role never ever disappears. To the extent that a woman works on herself and her personal connection with Hashem, to the extent that she refines her chaymer, to that extent she can reflect back the good in her husband and children, her family is then encouraged to go higher, which then comes back to her because they have more light to give out. This gives her even more shape, which she uses to further refine herself. This is an upward cycle, upward spiral. And Chazal tell us that her reward in the next world, as well as her ability to be resurrected at the end of the days, is actually dependent on how well she played her part. In Bracha 17a, the Gemara asks, how do women earn merit in this world that will stand by them in the next world? They answer, by making their children go to cheder, and their husbands to the Beis Midrash to learn Torah, and then waiting for their husbands to return. This is how woman merits the Chis Mason. Now, obviously, I will say here that just as every physical birth is painful, yet some births are certainly more painful than others, so too is marriage and raising children. How much pain and difficulty a woman experiences depends on her mazel and the unique path in the world that is set out for her. So let's get to non-married women and those without children. Such a woman can still be involved in drawing out and reflecting the light of those around her, and in the process be changed herself, because this dynamic can happen outside of the context of the home as well. As I said earlier, it's a part of her intrinsic nature, so wherever she goes, this will come out if she's connected to herself. Since we know that a person's deeds and even good thoughts are also considered children, this means that any woman with Bechira has the opportunity to create offspring in this world that will greet her in the next one. Consider the example of Sarah Schneer, Olav Shalom. She wasn't blessed with any children of her own, yet she is a mother to thousands and thousands of women who have attended a Beis Yaakov. Chazal also say that if you teach a person Torah, bring her closer to Hashem, that this is also an aspect of birth. So too is providing financial support or sustenance to someone who is in need. Interestingly, even the Gemara I mentioned earlier starts with sending children to cheder. Here again we have the same question. Why not start with the husband? Shouldn't he be the priority? He's the melech, he's the mashpia of the home. In a situation of good shalom bias, there's also reus between the husband and wife. And reus is the highest connection two people can possibly have in this world. So why is he listed as a second thing? Now, one possible explanation could be that children lack the free will of an adult. So the mother has more responsibility to them. But this Gemara could also be yet another hint to the fact that by children, we really mean two things. One on a physical level and one on a spiritual level. The spiritual children exist for all women, regardless of the situation in life. And it is over here that all women, regardless of their mazel, have to start their personal journey. The single woman and those without children can be paying particular attention to their thoughts and actions. Are you sending them to Sheol? Are you doing things that bring you and others closer to Hashem? Are you connecting yourself like a marriage to that which brings covered shemaim into the world? Things like Shabbos, Gemilas Chassidim, Tefillah, your level of Sneas. So to summarize, a woman is meant to refine herself in a connection to Hashem. This happens primarily through Yisirim, through the Yisirim she experiences. She takes out the light hidden in the experience and the people around her and reflects it back in a way that builds. While the most ideal situation for a woman is to receive and reflect the light within her family in order to build them up and help them in their avodas Hashem, she also has a role outside of the home. In the case of a woman does not have a family, then the second aspect will take more precedence in her life. May we be zoche to recognize who we are and what we are capable of. May we come closer to Hashem and ourselves in the process lift up those around us so we can merit to see the coming of Mashiach, Mahari Yamayni.